All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's Amalgamation Steering Committee set for April the 1st, 2026, here at 6 p.m. We'll call the meeting to order. Before we start, just as a reminder, this committee is here to explore amalgamation. It is not our mandate, excuse me, to make decisions, but only to collect and provide information to our respective councils. We have been nominated from our individual units as representatives to collect information and provide updates. Any decision on amalgamation will be made by each individual unit, and no decision will be made here. On behalf of the entire committee, I'd like to thank everybody for their patience, understanding, and empathy as we go through this process. Saying that, please call for an approval of the agenda. I believe we have just one small change. We would like to move section 4.1, flip it with 4.2. Are there any other additions or deletions to the agenda as circulated? And if not, may I please have a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Great. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll move on to the approval of the minutes. So have all members received and reviewed the minutes from our last meeting, March the 4th, 2026? And if so, may I please have a motion to approve?
I move that we approve the minutes from the March 4th, 2026 Amalgamation Steering Committee meeting.
And I'll second.
Thank you. No further discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay. We'll now move on to item 4.1, discussion, infrastructure reports, and amalgamation economic model. CAO Warren, would you please provide us a little bit more information on this?
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. I was thinking about the reports that the NSRAB would require for an application and just going through the list of reports. The one that sort of stood out to me as one of the most important reports was the financial report. When I was going through the high level quotes that we had got from our auditors on that, they had identified that there are actually two sets of other reports that need to feed into that that you need first. One of those is an HR report. So we did get a quote, a high level quote on an HR report. The other one was that you would need infrastructure reports. So essentially what that means is, so for example, the municipality did an infrastructure report on our sewer system. We had RV Anderson come in and do that. So they put cameras into the system and they do a complete evaluation. And what you get at the end is essentially a schedule over time of the replacement requirements for your infrastructure and the estimated costs of doing that. So we would need that from all three units for our sewer systems, and then also one for the town of Shelburne water system. Once you've got those reports, they would feed data into the financial analysis that whoever we put an RFP out to do the financial report would use that data for a final financial report. So just reading the information that you would get from that, so you'd probably expect to see consolidated projections based on expected changes in staffing, assume a result of the HR study and new estimated tax rates and future borrowing and transition costs. You'd see select combined FCIs for all three units. You'd see combined debt affordability model. So they'd assume that this would be prepared by the Department of Municipal Affairs. And you'd see projected capital spending and funding options. So that report, I think, would go a long way to providing information to you and your councils in terms of what you feel you would need to come to a decision. If you didn't feel that that was providing you enough, we could go a step further, but I'll warn you, it would be a difficult process. And we built an economic model for our municipality that we use. We built it about 3 years ago, and we've been adding on to it each year a little bit. We've probably spent about $130,000 so far on it. I could ask our auditors if it's possible to build an economic model for an amalgamation, so three units, and look at it as a combined unit. My guess is it'll probably take about a year to do, probably cost a couple hundred thousand. Is it just, and these are pure guesses. I haven't talked to the auditors at all, and I don't even know if it's possible that they can do it, because it would be so complicated. It would involve a lot of time and effort by our respective directors of finance for inputting data into that model. But the benefit of a model like that is you'd be able to project your long-term future sustainability. So what I mean by that is one of the, on our dashboard that we provide in our model for our council, they get to essentially look at key data, and the most important data we look at is our reserves and what our reserves look like over time and whether or not our reserves are declining or increasing, what the status is, and are we sustainable, and are we within the thresholds of our reserve policy. And if you're looking into the future and you're seeing that your reserves are stable and you're not breaching your reserve policy, then it's showing you that you've got a sustainable unit. So if we did do a model whereby we had three units combined into one in a model, you as councillors would be able to see whether or not the single unit would be sustainable in the future with all the data that goes into it. The most important data would be that infrastructure data, because I think that's the one that would be the most capital intensive over time. So those are just some of my comments with regard to that. And it actually leads into the next question of, you know, as you as councillors, what are the requirements that you would like to see? So I've talked about those reports there, but is there anything else that you as councillors feel that you would want to see to make a decision? Because that would basically go into your planning in terms of, you know, assuming we get funding from the province, you know, you'd have to give staff instructions to say, okay, these, you know, we want these reports, but councillors also feel they need additional, whatever it is you're asking. So that's everything I have to say for now.
Great. Yeah. So 4.1 and 4.2 are kind of the same together. It's really, I think, what information are our respective councils looking for to direct this group moving forward? So on a more high level, why don't we start with that question and we can look for comment and see where that leads. Yeah, Mayor Jacqueline.
Thank you, Warren. If Mrs. Mattisall will probably be able to help me with this. We have an ongoing, obviously, water system to a fair amount of customers in the town of Shelburne, as well as a wastewater system, which we're looking at that all the time, knowing that, as you said, about the costs of having consultants come in and have a look at it, and it would be quite costly, obviously. But we have up-to-date data probably from month to month and or quarter to quarter on those costs, which would be actual costs, not projected. And also, the town of Lockwood has a water system, and I'm quite sure that they have, you don't have water to the... Okay, so that particular information, I thought Lockwood owned it, by the way, but nonetheless, that information would be forthcoming as well with the water system that's going, goes in the back harbor past Cathlon, right? And so that's where it comes across. Yeah, I know I put it there. Oh, I did actually, myself and another group of men. But anyway, those types of things could be costs that we could already look at and see what we can cut a few corners here. So that's a good analogy, because, you know, things, they cost more, they never cost less. So you do have that information, obviously. Mrs. Mattisall.
Yeah, so we are upgrading a component of our wastewater system. So, of course, we have some relevant and up-to-date data with respect to our sewer system. We had a study done on our water utility, I want to say 10 plus years ago. So that one isn't as up-to-date, and we do have some aging infrastructure, more so our lines, that we'd have to take a look at. But to Warren's point and to your point, too, Mayor, I think from what I understand the conversation being and from discussions we've had from a staff level, that these reports and studies are discussed to go forward if in fact the province is willing to pay for it. So from what I understand and from how I view it is that the price really wouldn't be the major concern, considering we're hoping the province is going to fund this where they did fund Windsor West Hants 100%. So having a up-to-date current data would only be to our benefit, all of our benefit.
Warden, you'd comment?
Yeah, for me, I believe the financial component is absolutely imperative moving forward. But I do feel that we need to get a guarantee in writing from the province that they are going to pay for the total costs for all of the studies and analysis that are going to be required for us to make an informed decision. And so I guess to that point, I know we did send out, or the chair did send out letters. There was a letter sent on February 5th to our MLA, and there was a letter sent on March 5th to Minister McDonald of Municipal Affairs, asking, well, with our MLA, of course, was to advocate on our behalf and to invite him to a meeting. And to our minister, or to the minister, was to ask for the province to fully fund the costs of these studies and analysis. And so I guess my question is, have we heard back from either?
I haven't heard back from either. I don't believe any of the CAOs have heard anything either. So no, we have not heard a response from anybody yet.
Okay. I think perhaps maybe suggest that we reach back out to both and request a response, because I honestly don't feel that we can move forward until we have that guarantee in writing that these costs are going to be paid for by the province.
Great.
Deputy Mayor Hillis?
No, I totally agree with what Warden Smith is saying. This is a cost that should not be borne on the taxpayers, and I think we're all in agreement with that. So maybe push back a little bit.
Mayor Jacklin?
I guess, thank you, Penny. That's a great argument, because the precedent has already been set to the tune of $1.5 or $1.4 million that Windsor Hants got handed to them. It's public money, so it's really you're using your own money, but they were allowed to use their own money in order to go through the process of amalgamation. And if it's done there, it should be, you know, should be done here. It's we all see. Obviously, as I always say, we pay a lot of tax money out of Shelburne. ATM of the province, by the way. So and I say that, you know, in a way that's a little bit funny, but it's a very serious statement, because we are, we get looked at less favorably from the very top. So thank you very much.
Deputy Mayor, or Deputy Warden, sorry.
I totally agree. And we need those reports to see the impact that it's going to have on each unit. It's got to be beneficial to all three parties that's joining together. And without those, we're guessworking, and our residents are guessworking, and they're, you know, some might think that it's going to be a huge impact on their tax rate eventually in a few years, maybe, but we need to know that and see that in writing. So we need that commitment from the province right now for those reports, good or bad.
Yeah, it's too important a decision to guess on. So yeah, we're looking for facts. Councillor Cruz?
Oh, it's just supporting what everyone has been saying, and of course just kind of leading back to your first statement, Chair, that we are in the exploratory process, so no, having all that data that we can have access to is better than to move forward with this. So yeah,
it sounds like we're all looking for the numbers, the business case for this, right? A lot of the questions that we've been hearing, that we've all been hearing, I'm sure, is questions specifically related to taxation and area rates and staffing, service delivery, which are all costs. So how do those all flush out, and how can they be beneficial to everybody, all the units? That's what we're trying to achieve here. Warden?
Yeah, just on that point, you know, when we're talking about this exploration, I mean, the reasons why we're doing this are, you know, can it improve services? Does it reduce costs? And does it make our community more sustainable? Those, to me, are the three components of why we are exploring this in the first place. And again, we can't do any of that until we have the data.
Yeah, and included like those infrastructure reports as that data to understand what it looks like now, but also in the future, and what capital upgrades we'll be looking for as individual units and as a collective or as a collective. So, yeah, the answers to the questions we're looking for at the end of the reports, as I heard someone say recently. So, yeah, I agree. This is really important, and hopefully we'll get some clarity on that very soon.
If I can just add, too, it's important for this committee, but like you said, it's important for the individuals, but it's also very important for the residents to understand a life expectancy of some of our infrastructure. And that even if we were amalgamated and as one unit, what are the benefits or advantages? But even if we didn't go through amalgamation and we were individual, this is something as a community, you're going to have to look at, you're going to shoulder the whole responsibility on yourself. So can you afford that as a community? Moving forward with rising costs and all like that. So those reports are extremely important. So, but yeah, we have to get approval and support from the provincial government first.
Is there anything we can do in the interim? In the interim?
Reach back out.
I believe that, you know, as we speak and the points that we've brought up at this point, at this time, I should say, that we're aware of all of the points that need to be checked in order for us, and I'm not talking about the $1.4 or $5 million to do the amalgamation, but I think we should go through our file cabinet and see what we have for where we pay and how much we pay on a, you know, quarterly or yearly basis when it comes to infrastructure, because I know that Mrs. Matatal, we speak often about infrastructure, and we have 11 lift stations, just to point out one thing. And we, every year, we do one lift station to upgrade it to the highest level, and it's costly already. So, and again, those costs will not go down, plus the expansion of other infrastructure if and when we are amalgamated. To expand lines and those sorts of things, that's going to really, you know, obviously drive the cost of everything higher and higher, because more equipment, more cost, and of course more person power in order to maintain these systems. And so they last for a long time, but when they start to deteriorate, then they pretty much start to deteriorate all at once in all places and so on. So that's quite important that we know that, and you know, it's not tomorrow. If we got our $1.5 million tomorrow, it wouldn't be as if we're amalgamated and everything's lovely. We have to obviously know that this is going to be down the road, and by the time we get down the road to an amalgamation, if said be, that our infrastructure is going to need more, and things that we cannot, and I mean we can't see them at this point in time. That's the way mechanical things work. And then when things hit fans, they usually hit them quite hard. So you have to really have a look at what we all have along the way and itemize these things. And I guess project from what we know, what it's going to cost, not from somebody who's just going to go and number pick because they're consultants. I don't really trust consultants too much because they usually don't do physical work and they don't understand stuff. It's just paper stuff. And, you know, I may be wrong about that, but I'm not far off, I can tell you that. You ask a guy who digs a hole how much it costs and how much time it takes, it's a lot better than somebody sitting at a desk with a piece of paper. So that's the type of stuff we need to do, is hardcore information that will really justify a more close and a more equitable factor when it comes to paying for these things. Because I don't like spending money, personally.
Deputy Mayor Hillen, and then Deputy Warden Wagner.
Thank you. Actually, my question is for Mr. McLeod. Warden, maybe you could, on these infrastructure reports, the town of Lockport and the town of Shelburne are a little bit different than the municipality in the sense that we are also, a part of our infrastructure includes streets and roads that we are responsible for paying. Is that a report that has to be included in this package?
Well, I would expect that that would be a report that would be expected, because the idea is you're trying to accumulate all of your anticipated infrastructure costs going forward. So for the towns, it would be your streets, your lights, your sidewalks, those types of things, any infrastructure, and also your buildings. So if you've got renovations you have to do in your buildings, whatever, basically any infrastructure costs you anticipate, you would need to compile those and put it to some form of schedule.
Okay, so it's everything under our roof. So that's what I'm trying to clarify. Yeah. Not just sewer or water, but everything.
Yeah, the sewer and the water is the big ones, but everything really, that's infrastructure.
Roads can be quite big for our communities as well, too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything under the roof, including the roof.
Yeah. Including the roof. Yes, absolutely.
Warren, do you know, just ask a question.
Heidi's first. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
If and when we were to amalgamate, would that mean that the town of Shelburne no longer is responsible for the roads, would be the highway or pardon me, the province?
No, you would still be, the unit would still be.
That jurisdiction would look after its own streets as we are today.
Yeah, okay. It would be exactly the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Just one other comment that I wanted to make is these reports will show different data, and it could show that amalgamation isn't what these three units need. It might be a shared services, joint services sort of thing, that all the services each unit offers that we can share in a savings to each unit. So the data is crucial for before any of us can sit here and make a decision on behalf of our residents.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? I'm hearing that our next step is to follow up on our letters to see if there's an update on that, and continue to gather information about our individual infrastructures, at least from the town of Lockport's perspective. I know we'll start thinking about that and compiling lists even before we have something, a professional do it, but to Mayor Jacqueline's point, we can initiate that process. So we'll initiate that process through our budgeting review, which we're already doing, to identify those areas of priority, I guess, so to speak. And we'll go from there. Okay. On to the next item on the agenda, 4.3, discussion, Antigonish consolidation, public engagement presentation. Would like to.
So we've engaged with Crystal Fuller, and in discussion with Crystal and Brian Smith, they had suggested a fee of about $3,500 if in fact this committee wanted them to come down and have a presentation or discuss the Antigonish consolidation process. So it's just another avenue for the committee to explore. Of course, it's optional. To keep in mind, we don't have a budget as of yet for the amalgamation education component. With respect to Kevin Latimer, I know we all went to our respective councils to ask for that money to go forward for the committee. So it'd be the same situation with respect to this.
Warden Smith?
I think we were also going to ask Region of Queens from the previous meeting.
Yes, Warden Smith, that was mine. I did contact Willa Thorpe, who is the CAO for the municipality of the Region of Queens. And she didn't have anything to say on the subject. She had no experience with it. So she gave me a few names. One of them was Chris McNeil. I think Chris used to be the CAO here at one time, didn't he?
Yes, he was.
And I've emailed him, but I've never gotten an email. I've gotten an answer back yet, asking him if he would consider sharing his experience with us. Right. The other two contacts she gave me were a former mayor, two former mayors actually, but I didn't have any contact information for them except Facebook. And I went on, and neither one of them will accept messages, so I couldn't leave a message for either of those. So. This amalgamation took place, or consolidation took place, some years ago. So
yeah.
I don't know really how much help it would be, because she said that there are no staff there now that were there when it happened. So.
Yeah, and I believe it was 1996 as well.
I think.
Yeah.
I think, yes, 1990.
But a few years ago.
Yeah.
But we thought because it was a neighboring municipality.
From Chris and he may consider sharing his experience, whatever that was. I think he went there long after that.
Yeah.
After that it happened.
Thank you.
Would anybody like to, any thoughts from around the table? Deputy Mayor Hill?
I think it would be good. I know it's dated, but it was one of the successful consolidations. And one of the things that I'm sure it's one of the questions that's being raised in all of our units, especially with the rural and urban type areas, is the difference in tax rates. And they tackled that right from the beginning. And it sort of gave an explanation why Queens does have a higher tax rate or maintained a higher tax rate based on the services provided in an urban structure compared to those in the rural parts of Queens. I think Shelburne would be very similar for people living in rural parts that don't have sewers or sidewalks or streetlights or stuff like that. So it might be helpful in that aspect and see how they sort of navigate it through. If there's anyone around, I don't know if this individual, Chris McNeely, or even if he can put some eyes or hands onto some documents of their process might be useful for this committee. That's all I'm going to say. That's what I'm suggesting. You don't necessarily need a presentation, but if you could share that with us.
I will share with the committee when I get an answer from you.
Sorry. On that fee that they've, what does that include? Just to come down and talk to us about what they, what is that? Sorry, can you just give a little bit more information? Okay. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, it's just been a minute.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So from what I understand, they would be discussing the process that they went through with the Andy Ganesh process. The pros and the cons and I, and what they've gone through. And I chuckled because obviously it didn't end in the result that they had anticipated in, but there would be a wealth of information with respect to it going the other way. So we're learning from Kevin Latimer and potentially from Queens about the positive side of the amalgamation process, but what about the other components to it? So that'd be a decision on the committee if you want to spend the $3,500 split between the three units on inviting them down for the day to have those discussions. And we could provide them with a handful of questions in advance if that was the case. From the committee, so that way they can be prepared to answer and to have those discussions.
And sorry, just for reference, what is Crystal and Miss Fuller and Mr. Smith's role within Andy Ganesh?
Can you answer? Yeah.
Yeah, they were consultants that were hired by Andy Ganesh to do a public engagement program. I believe they had something like 30 community meetings. Something like that. And as CIO Matatal pointed out, the interesting thing is that despite the amount of engagement they had, they still had the province pull out. My understanding is that there was quite a vocal minority group there. And it'd be interesting to find out how influential that small group was in swaying the government. That wouldn't apply to amalgamation. Because amalgamation is not a political process or you're going through the NSRIB. So there are lessons to be learned from how they weren't able to sway everybody and how do you do it? And my own personal feelings is that we do need to come up with a public engagement strategy right away. And the reason I say that is because I do follow social media quite closely with regard to this. There's been a lot of talk about amalgamation over the last few days here. A lot of people putting surveys out saying we want town halls. And I've actually engaged with them saying, actually, you can come and ask questions here. I thought that there were going to be dozens and dozens of people here tonight. And we've only got one member of the public here tonight and four councillors. So something's wrong. We need a better strategy for public engagement, because I am also noticing that there is already disinformation on social media that is distorting what your committee is talking about. which is frustrating to see that. So my recommendation is to go back to your councils and see if you can get a little bit of money to have this presentation, because I think there are probably gems of information in that presentation that we could probably learn from.
I need to have something to say. Oh, there, Jacqueline.
Well, those, Warren, thank you very much for that information. And that being said, of course, those men and women who live their lives on Facebook and those sorts of things, I don't believe most of those people would come to a forum where they could be physically seen and or heard for what information they would have forthcoming. Nonetheless, we need, as you say, we need to have a public forum, obviously advertise it to, you know, a good degree, and get people who I would expect have some pertinent questions to ask us, some that, of course, that we haven't spoken about or had a thought to speak about at this point in time. Yeah, we need to do that. And we'll have to obviously advertise the fact that if people don't come, right, and I don't be hard about this, but if you don't come and have an opinion, your opinion is not worth anything later on. Because you have to play hardball with people when it comes to getting information out of them. So you can't stand outside the fence and not be part of the game. You have to be here to be part of the game. And that is obviously allowing people to, you know, practice their rights to demonstrate, speak to, be heard, and have some sort of a response to what they speak to. But if you're going to be on the internet and just shooting things off at us, that's not going to work. And I would, you know, I would encourage everyone here not to jump into that game, because that's not one that is winnable no matter what goes on. So, yeah, we need to have a strategy. We need to build a strategy in order to invite the public to their future, if you will. So thank you.
Gordon.
I'm wondering where we're going to be sending out another letter to the minister and to our MLA. Should we wait on this to find out whether or not we're going to receive the funding to move forward before we spend money that we don't have?
Chair, if you don't mind, I actually was going to make that same recommendation, and to kind of tailor off Mayor Jacqueline. This is a public forum. Yes. I mean, you guys, the steering committee is that you guys have on your agenda on number 5, residential comments and questions, and it's been there from the beginning. This is the platform, just as a reminder to the committee, that you have invited the public to speak. You encourage them to write into the website or the email address that we provided. We have website links. We promote it on social media. I mean, I don't know how much more in this current and beginning stage you can engage the public. To your point, Warren, you said that you've been paying attention to the social media. Well, this meeting's been promoted. They have the platform to come here and stand in this room or be online and ask those questions. So it's not even necessarily that they have to be physically in the room to ask the questions. They can be on the Teams environment. So I just want to provide that reminder to you as elected officials and at the steering committee meeting that you're very much in a public forum, and residents do have ample opportunity. You guys meet on a regular basis now, and they have an opportunity through social media and through other means to get a hold of you. So with respect to the financial component, I think it's important to gather the information and the facts for you guys to make those informed decisions, whether you go forward or not. By having that provincial financial support, I think, is paramount. So that would be my recommendation, would be to go forward and reach out to the province again and see if they can financially support this process.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is been consistent right from day one when we sat together before this was even a formalized committee. We recognize the importance of the community engagement, but I think we want to be certain with what we are communicating with our community. And at this point, I don't know if we have the information that everybody's looking for. I think we are all looking for that information as well. And we're happy to your point, to be here and to answer questions, but our knowledge base is limited in what we know as it relates to anything in the future. Deputy Warden.
I agree with everything that's being said, but I would
like to see no money spent until we get a commitment from the province. Because if each unit's paying out money and this isn't going any further, we don't want to waste that money of that our residents are, that's, yeah, no. And we're all sitting around this table learning together along with our residents, because there's questions that's coming in that we don't have the answers to, but our staff are going out to find them and we're learning as well. So I would like to see that commitment come from the province first. And then we engage Crystal and the Mr. Smith. And I agree with Sarah. From day one, we've opened the floor for our residents to come here and ask questions. And we document them and put them on the website. So for false information to be out there, that's just wrong when they have every opportunity to come forth.
Thank you. Anything else? Yeah, Deputy Mayor.
Just to echo everyone's sentiments, I do agree. I think we're always going, everybody's entitled to their opinions, and we've been very forthcoming with inviting people here. Unfortunately, some of the people who talk the loudest on social media are just validation seeking on social media. And if they really have a concern and not trying to just defend their position, come here and learn the facts. If you don't understand it, let's have an adult discussion. And we will answer your questions so that you can take that back and you can make your own decision whether you support this or you don't support this or what have you. But at least you have that information and that not something you're just trying to create a division and a divide among residents in our communities when we're just trying to do the best thing for our communities. Because like I said, nobody here is pro or against. We're just trying to get the information and present it to you and give you the facts of what we could be looking at as communities moving ahead and what we have to do to be sustainable in order to survive as communities. So.
And there was one comment, Warden, you made earlier that when we started this process, it was one as one, and we wanted to continue that information came forth as one, so that the town of Lockport wasn't providing different information with the town of Shelburne or et cetera. So this is the reason why we're going about it in this way, is to be slow and methodical and true with the information that we're getting, so that we're passing along truths to people and that we're operating from levels of truth, I guess. So, okay. Anything else on this today? Okay. Resident comments, questions. Would you like to, anybody here like to say anything first? Karen, come on up. We've got a microphone. Welcome, Karen Mattel.
Thanks. Thank you. I've found this meeting very interesting, actually. And I think you guys are doing a great job. I think I'd never been to one before. So I saw the same thing on social media. Oh, nobody's allowed, blah, blah, blah. And obviously that's not the case. I'm here and you're letting me have an opinion. but just a couple of things, I think, and I don't know 100%, but I believe one of the issues that things went south in Antigonish was the timing of getting out in front of the residents. And I don't know how you figure out when that is, but when, if it goes too far without giving them information, then the social media is going to really start to blow up. And I don't know that for sure, but I think that was definitely part of it in Antigonish. So I think it's important, as the town CAO has said, and everybody else, probably the information from them is important, but I also agree with the deputy mayor. Are you?
Yes.
With Liverpool or Queens? Because that one, I've always believed that that one, we are so, we're very, very similar in population, in, you know, in everything to Queens County. So I think there could be a lot of very valuable information. And if you want, I can get you the person that you need to talk to there, if you want to do that. Well, it was 30 years, but it was good. And we had at the time brought John Leaf, who was the mayor at the time, or I'm sorry, he was the MLA at the time. And he was the one that had come out in front. At the time, the province was forcing amalgamations. They forced HRM and they forced CBRM. And he said, hey, guys, let's do this on our terms. Don't wait until we get forced to do it. And I'm not suggesting you're going to get forced, because I think the province has stepped away from that. However, you don't ever want to get in a position where you do get forced either. You want to be able to always do it on your own terms. But just one question that I'm wondering about. I think that it is important, obviously, that you have an accumulation or a record of all the infrastructure in each of the units, for sure. Some of that, I think you probably already have. So I'm wondering, when I keep hearing we want the province to pay $1.5 million, how are you sure it's 1.5 million? I mean, what exactly are you asking them for? To just say we want the same thing that was done in, what was the other one? Hants or whatever. Maybe it isn't exactly the same. Maybe you have some information and you don't need. I mean, I'm just saying, make sure what you're asking is what you need. Not just say, well, because you gave them 1.5 million, we want that too, because it may not cost that much. I don't know. I mean, it may, I don't know, but it seems to me, and not to dump work on staff, but I know that, or I believe in the town, a lot of that infrastructure reporting, you probably have a pretty good record of a lot of it, and maybe the town of Lockport, I'm not sure. But I do remember back, and I don't know if this is any value, because I'm almost as old as that previous amalgamation, but I've been through three discussions of amalgamation. But we had an asset management staff person who did, and I think that would still be relevant, wouldn't it? The information that they had on, I think it was sewer that we did at the time. Maybe more, I'm not sure, but at least that. So I'm just wondering, before you say, well, we just want what they gave them.
Yeah.
I would say make sure that's, you're asking for what you need, not just what you want.
That it's accurate, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever, it could be, who knows?
Yeah.
But just make sure that the questions that you're asking or the things you're asking them to fund are the things that really need to get the information. And then, like I said, at what point you get out in front of the public with it, I don't know, who knows what that point is. But there probably is a time where if you wait too long, you won't convince them. But having said that, even if you can't convince the public, I'm not sure why it went south in Antigonish. Because if it was the right thing, it was still the right thing. Because sometimes the public, they're so dug in, and we all do that. I mean, we do that, can do that as counselors too. But we're so committed to our opinion that we don't want to hear anything else. So it just, you know, get the best information you can get and make sure that the public knows that. And as long as you know you're giving them the very best information, and a group of people start saying, we don't want it, but you know it's the right thing, or vice versa, then that's what you should do. That's just my two cents.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Yeah. Not that it's worth much, but that's
well,
my two
it cents. It is worth a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to Ms. Madetall's comments, I think the way you, excuse me, had worded the letter was that was an example that was included in the letter, the Windsor West Hants, that it was approximately 1.5 million that they had received in funding. But I think your letter articulated that we really didn't know exactly what the amount was going to be. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like today a little bit, we spoke a little bit about the priorities in that financial report, the infrastructure report, and HR being the most important of all the things. So yeah, that's very helpful though, as we have those conversations to understand exactly what we're looking for and what is a priority.
Good.
Yeah.
yeah, just to bring you up to speed a little bit, Karen, we did have a previous presentation by the Nova Scotia Regulatory and Appeals Board. And we engaged in correspondence with them. So they identified all of the reports that would be required for their process. We went and got high level quotations from various organizations for all the reports. That amount comes into ballpark somewhere around about 550,000. So we do have pretty specific information. The Department of Municipal Affairs already knows that. So we've been in communication with Valerie Portabunge on that. the uncertainty comes in the transition period. When you look at the consolidation report by Windsor West Hance, the coordinator, his report, they spent around about a little over 500,000 on what they called RFPs, which I think are reports similar to the ones we would require for the NSRAB. And then they had about $1 million that looked to me like transition costs. So they had set up a transition committee, and they almost had a parallel administration team that were basically putting into practice the actual transition. And I think that $1 million went into that. I'm not 100% sure. I've put out inquiries to the coordinator, have not got responses back on that. So that's the part that's uncertain. We do have a lot of certainty without going out to RFP yet on the initial reports you would need. Those reports, I think, are the first phase you would go to and say to the government, we need money for these reports. We've got a rough idea what the cost is going to be. And that'll put the committee in a position where they think they'll have the information, hopefully, that they can make a decision to move forward or not to go to the NSARB. You'd then probably have to go to the province and say, okay, the transition cost is something we don't know about, because really what it is, it's staff time to actually implement the transition. And that's the uncertain part. And the letter that we sent to the minister is worded in such a way that, can you pay all the costs of the transition? And we asked for an in-person meeting so we could talk about the idea that would potentially be in phases, which is what happened in Windsor West Hants. So there has been quite a bit of work there, and I appreciate you asking the question, because it gives me the opportunity to give you an answer so it's recorded so other people can hear it. But you're absolutely right in what you're saying. The key is now to get an answer from the minister for that sit-down meeting, and then to get the answers on whether or not they're willing to pay for it. And that's the big question mark right now.
Just so everybody online can hear you, Karen. And
I'm not used to this high-end technology. I understand you absolutely, no matter what people think, you do need to have that information before you can decide if we want to be one unit. But I'm wondering about the transition. I mean, because I'm like Mayor Jacqueline, I'm not a fan of spending money either, unless you have to. But I mean, do all those things have to be redone because it's a different unit? Are there no commonalities there? Like with the transition, is there no information that you can get directly from the units? Or I'm wondering, why do you have to have a consultant or pay people all that money for that next step? And I know that's been the way it's been in the past. I'm just saying it's been done a number of times. Does it still have to be like that?
No, it doesn't have to be like that. The NSRAB, I've stated that some of the data can come from the organizations themselves. Like CAO Matatal was saying that they've already got data on their sewer system and stuff like that. So pulling data together from internal sources, the more you can do, the better, because it is going to cost you less at the end of the day. But, you know, things like boundary reports, HR reports, they have to be third-party independent reports. So there are some bits of information we can do ourselves. Other pieces have to be third-party.
Thank you.
Hey, Derek. That being said, Karen, CAO Matatal, she runs a tight ship, so I know that the information that would be forthcoming from all the infrastructure we have is up to date, and that's a very good point that you have made, so that the general population can hear this. It's not any different than the white-tailed deer situation. They're the same deer here as they are in Truro, so we just take the name Truro off and put Shelburne on, hand them their three-year reports, what they require. And get it done. It's quite a bit of bureaucracy, so that somebody gets paid down the line, if you will. And again, I'm not a fan of that sort of thing, because it takes up time, and it takes up money that we should not have to spend in order to move forward. But that's nonetheless some sort of succession that's been happening for decades.
And of course, their other jurisdictions have their pertinent information required as they move forward with all the infrastructure that they have and the cost that it does to, say, move not only sewage waste and water, but also our shared service agreements with garbage, trash, whatever you like to call that sort of thing, and how that works. And of course, our fire departments and all of those things that we're already involved in, we have the numbers. And we just don't, and in my personal opinion, and I'm quite sure it's the rest of our committee's opinion, we just don't want to take our numbers and hand them to somebody. They write them down on something and hand it back to us. You know, that's not going to, that won't set well with me for sure. So I just want to make that that point that, again, we have quite a bit of information. And I'm quite sure the other jurisdictions did as well. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else on this or any other questions from anybody in attendance? Yeah, is anybody else online who has any questions for the committee at this time? As we're waiting, we did receive one email late on Monday, and we have not had an opportunity to circulate it amongst the committee members. So we'll do that. We will circulate that email. It's very good, very comprehensive. So we want to give everybody the opportunity to look at it, analyze it, work with staff. We'll craft the response back. That will be shared in writing and shared with everybody as well once that has taken place. So just want to state that and thank the supplier for their patience in allowing us the opportunity to get back with a true information.
That's the only correspondence we've had since our last meeting. Just the one.
The only correspondence that I've received. Yeah. Yeah. Warren?
Thank you, Chairman. I did want to ask for some direction from the committee in terms of public feedback that we receive. So myself, Sarah, and June, we meet with the chairperson every Monday at 10 a.m. To review correspondence that comes in. There's really sort of two routes we can go on this one. We haven't published any of the emails that have come in and the answers that have gone out. I think there's only been two. Is that correct? There's two ways we can do this. One way is if a question comes in and it's already covered in the FAQs, then let the FAQ stand. If a question comes in and it doesn't and it isn't covered in the FAQs, we can update the FAQ with a new question and the new answer in there. The other way we can do it is we can actually have a section on the webpage where we actually show the email that comes in, actually show the email answer that goes out. So it's your choice. Maybe that's something you could quickly discuss right now.
Warden, you want to go first,
yeah,
please?
I would prefer the latter. I think we should have all of the questions and all of the responses in one place. And we can always link that to our FAQ as well for further information. That would be my suggestion.
And I agree with that too. I think that we need to process and show that all those emails and questions have been received and answered. Even if they are the same questions as above, at least that residents being seeing that their email come through and it was answered.
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, I agree that with the latter point. I don't know, we wouldn't be identifying the people
no.
by name, because I don't want to discourage anyone from sending emails whatsoever. So
yeah. Anybody?
Yeah, I would agree too, just for transparency's sake as well.
Likewise, I agree.
Great.
What Penny mentioned.
I do have one more question for the committee. One of the letters that we received was a resident who set up their own online survey. They had come up with a list of questions, and then residents would go on and type a like next to a question if they liked it. And so that person's almost trying to act as an agent, really, for other unknown people. I don't know how you want to handle this situation. Maybe it's something for discussion right now.
Mayor Jacqueline?
Thank you for that, Warren. My opinion is that we make it known on our platform that this particular person who started their own survey is important, but nonetheless pertinent when it comes to how we're approaching the information that we're gathering and know, because that particular person is not in the know or have not brought themselves forward to want to be in the know other than hearsay type of information, perhaps. So I'm not saying that we have to discredit this particular person, but we have to point the general public to our platform as the platform to go to, and not the general public's platform, which would be hearsay in my opinion. Thank you.
Anybody else like to make a comment? I'm of the belief that we should answer all the questions. So we should just answer all the questions regardless of where it came from, and that we should, to Councillor Cruz's point, in way of transparency, just answer the questions. If the old school mentality of mine, if one person is thinking that, maybe multiple, 3, 4, 5. So let's just get out ahead of it and answer the questions to the best of our abilities, regardless of where it came from.
I agree with that, except I think, but correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about the actual survey, and that survey on that particular social media platform. You're right, that person's not acting as an agent for any three of the municipalities, correct?
No, he's not acting as agent for us. He's essentially almost acting as an agent for the people that are participating on the survey of his or that person's.
Yeah. So that's not really asking a question of us as a steering committee or as a individual municipal unit. They're asking a question for their own personal interests. But they're not representing any one of us or this committee or the whole entire process. So whether it's a survey or whether there's another social media platform that's regularly asking questions in our jurisdiction, saying they want to get a gauge on it. Well, they're not getting gauge where we'll ever use those metrics, because they're using them for whatever their own agenda is, right? So I think we need to be cognizant of that. And hopefully the public will be cognizant of that, that they do not represent the town or any municipality that's involved in these discussions. They act solely independent, and they are asking those questions for their own personal agendas.
Yeah, I think everything should be going through our chair.
That's the long short of it. That's how I was trying to get at it.
Councillor Richardson, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. In relation to the transition costs, it had been outlined. I'm just wondering if possibly our CAO could outline the actual, some of the costs that are associated with that, because if my memory serves me right, that's when that happens, we'll say in you're moving forward, somebody has to be hired, appointed, and actually you're running 4 different councils at that time. Something too similar to that?
It's an uncertainty right now, because when you read the report for the coordinator for Windsor West Hants, they literally just have 2 line items for that $1 million. I think one was administration. I can't remember what the other one was. You couldn't tell what it was. But what I do know that happened there is that they had a transition committee, I guess would be similar to a committee like this. And in their situation, their 2 CAOs retired, and they actually hired a new CAO who was actually working for the transition committee. And the 2 units were still operating independently in parallel to that. So that new CAO was actually preparing for the final merger. My guess is they had a lot of financial work to do, trying to merge financial systems together, that type of thing, trying to figure out the HR, all of that. So that period of time that they were trying to figure all that out, they had costs associated with that. And I think that that's what the transition costs are, but I'm not certain. I do know the individual that was involved in that, so I will be reaching out to him to find out more information.
And I just wanted to point out, I think that was my understanding, that you're actually running your individual units. In the meantime, you have to set up and run as one unit. So that would involve a great deal of cost and so on. So it wasn't just a simple move. That's all I wanted to point out.
Yeah, laying the foundation for that brand new one, and yeah, almost operating. Running up, yes, thank you, thank you.
Sorry.
Just finishing my sentences now. Great. Any other comments from anybody in the room or online or anything else? Our next meeting, let's go to our calendars here. It's the first Wednesday of every month, so it would be May the 6th at 6 p.m. here at the Municipality of Shelburne, 414 Woodlawn Drive. And if there's nothing further, ask for a motion to adjourn. Sorry.
Did you want me to reach out, or did you want us to reach out to our MLA to find out if you would be available for that meeting? We did ask him to come. I know he's in legislature right now, but a little comic relief. Benny Hill moment. But yeah, I think it would be good to have him come if you would like me to reach out.
Yeah. Lots of nodding of the heads around the room. So yes, please. That would be wonderful. Okay. Hearing nothing else, I'll call for a motion to adjourn, please.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you very much.